Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Is this the most predictable championship match in recent wrestling history? Hello, I am Adam, filling in for Luke Owen, and I'm joined as ever by the hardest working woman in all of sports infotainment, the Hammer, Denise Hollywood Salcedo. Hello, Denise. Good morning to you.
So hardworking. I was like, I woke up and I was like, are we having a show today? And I was like, I have no idea. You know, I still started getting ready. I was like, all right, whatever. I was like, I'm going to do my makeup, pop in here. I was like, hey, we're ready to go. We're ready to go. If not, I'm just going to go back to sleep with my makeup on.
Just wake up, you know, glass, you know, sunglasses, squiff, cigarette still in your mouth, glass of red wine on the side table, being just like, yes, but it's nice to see you. I don't know what I went out in the sun, Denise, and I'm all confused.
That happens. When you get too much sun, you're like, you just start to get like a little like fuzzy, like you're not in the right frame of mind.
I'm sun drunk. I really am. I'm not used to it being warm. This is insane. I've got a little rosy tinge to my cheeks. Such a happy little lad. Right. So we're talking about AEW. Well, we're going to talk about it, despite the fact that AEW doesn't seem to be talking about it. But Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann is happening this Sunday. Title for title. The first proper, huge domestic journey, like step in the journey of Kenny Omega, the belt collector. I know he's already the AAA mega champion, but like this is US pay-per-view. He's facing up against Impact champion Rich Swann, both championships on the line. And apparently, I was reading the Wrestling Observer newsletter today, Denise. This is a little fun little fact. It'll only be the second time on US live pay-per-view that a match with world championship two different companies will be facing off with both belts at stake. And the other one was Super Clash 3 in 1989. It was Kerry Von Erich versus Jerry Lawler. It was world-class championship wrestling champion versus the AWA champion, with Jerry Lawler winning by blood stoppage. Point is, AEW doesn't seem to have promoted this at the last minute. Does that mean that we are either not going to get a satisfactory finish, or is this indeed the most predictable championship match in recent history? Does Rich Swann have a chance in hell? Denise Salcedo.
All right. So there's a lot to get at. So first of all, yes, with on The Observer this week, I know Dave put an entire history of title versus title matches on there. And I still have to read it because I just woke up. But, you know, just kind of like that is a big issue. And that was one of the things that I tweeted on Wednesday. And obviously, I had a lot of people that agreed with me on the fact that I think creatively speaking, AEW could have done a lot more storyline wise to make this into a big deal. Because, you know, if anything, you know, Tony Khan, and I know he's not technically an on-screen character on AEW Dynamite, but you could even allude to the fact that, hey, your champion is putting your title up on the line, you know, on another promotion and all of this. I just feel like they could have done a bigger deal of like being like maybe a little bit worried about it, maybe promoting it, but also promoting it because, you know, with the Impact title, it's the same thing. Like if they were to, you know, bring that title over, they should make it into a big deal. Like, hey, it's not every day that, like you just said, it's not every day that we have a title versus title match here in the United States. It's something that's done more often so in Japan. So the fact that we're having it here for the second time since 1989, I wasn't even born in 1989, should tell you what a big deal like this should be. But unfortunately, because, you know, they didn't really make it into this big deal on AEW, I do feel like it is going to be pretty predictable. And I'm like, at least let's have fun with it. Let's be creative about it. Let's add a little something to it. Let's get a little stressed out. Maybe what if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? And no matter what, all parties involved are going to look good at the end of it if it would have been played up a lot more. You know, AEW is going to look good. Kenny Omega is going to look good. Like, I just feel like they could have just thought outside the box a little bit more to make it a little bit more interesting. And I get it, because some people were like, oh, well, maybe they just don't want to promote, you know, Impact Wrestling, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I get all of that. But at the same time, it's like, dude, like, this is a creative angle that they could have done to really, really make it mean something, so that when Kenny Omega does win, that win matters even more, and not just to the, you know, internet wrestling community that, you know, is keeping up with this sort of stuff. So to the masses, it could have meant a lot more, I think, had they actually made it into a bigger deal.
Absolutely. I think it was Charlotte Flair's dad who once said, to be the man, you have to beat the man. You're only as good as the person you beat. So you want, like, if you're going to beat Rich Swann, which chances are Kenny Omega's going to do, I don't think this is the final step in the belt collector storyline, then yeah, like, I don't know why Rich Swann wasn't mentioned at all on AEW.
And you just said it, like you said, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. All right, great. So then, you know, down the line, whenever they have, you know, their next guy in AEW who beats Kenny Omega, it's going to be an even bigger deal. Why? Because you beat this guy who, you know, is, again, the belt collector, so-and-so. So yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of benefit to just promoting one storyline that could even help down the line. The butterfly effect.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising as well, considering obviously like Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone, like they did these promos on Impact, which a lot of people really, really enjoyed. Tony Khan sort of coming off as a little bit of a natural promo, which people weren't expecting. But like when it happened, when Kenny Omega ran off with Don Callis, like they treated this as like ginormous, huge news. But yeah, you would expect at least Tony Khan to, you know, just be just like there, you know, bags under his eyes being like, what if I lose the AEW World Championship to Impact? Like, it's surprising because, like you say, there's it feels like there's money left on the table here. I know obviously, like, maybe AEW doesn't want to make more money than it has to for Impact, but that doesn't really make sense, because people are going to be paying to see, let's be honest here, people are paying to see Kenny Omega. You know, like, that's, you know, Rich Swann is fantastic. I, you know, obviously, like, he's done some great work with the Impact Championship, but the title versus title is the draw, and I don't understand why you don't want as many eyes on that product as possible, even if it is technically a competitor. It just doesn't make any kind of logistical, creative sense to me.
Or even, like, you know, when they had that whole segment on AEW Dynamite this past weekend, well, this Wednesday, when Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston run their truck through the LH trailer. And it's like, in that case, like, shouldn't you be pissed? Like, you tried to kill my champion, and my champion has a big match this Sunday. You know, if I was Tony Khan, I'd be like, what the hell, Jon Moxley? Like, I know they weren't in there, you know, supposedly, and all of that in storyline, but it's like, bro, you nearly try to kill our champion, and he has this big match coming up. So
our champion.
You
mentioned Jon Moxley as well. Jon Moxley versus Kenta, like another interpromotional contest. Like,
that
much more.
Way more
build. Like, I don't know. I don't want to seem like we're just kind of like shaking our fists at the sky. It's just, it does feel, it's unsatisfactory, just because I think the Kenny Omega belt collector story, for me, is the hottest storyline in non-WWE right now. Like, it's the thing that's kind of like, he's going around uniting all the forces of men against the great Sauron of WWE. And I just, yeah, I don't understand why. Yeah, it's pretty historic.
Great forces of men.
Yes, the forces of men. Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
I saw it years ago, and I think I only saw like the first one, or maybe even like the I wasn't following the entire trilogy is what I'm trying to get at.
I understand. But yeah, like you say, I mean, obviously it happened in WWE versus WCW, but that was one company. WWE owned WCW at that point. So yeah, this is pretty big news. Like, AEW doesn't do like non-finishes for its title matches. It's done draws, but it hasn't done like a DQ or anything. That's the only, like, if this was WWE, this lack of promotion would be telling me there's absolutely no finish. But there has to be.
And I think there'd be more of a buzz too if it were WWE, in terms of, wow, they're not even promoting it. Like, that's so lame. People would be very upset about it.
Yeah, I think so too. So obviously, like, yeah, do you personally, personal prediction from Denise Salcedo, put you on the spot, is Kenny Omega going to be Impact and AEW World Champion come Sunday?
Yeah, I think anybody that is betting otherwise has a lot of courage, and if it, like, a lot of courage. So yeah,
that's fair. All right, well, we'll hop into our Ultra Chats to see what people think about this topic. Jared Hazelwood says, we all know that the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship is Kenny's last stop in his belt collecting journey. Between now and then, what belts should he pick up? Also, are there any notable belts you think he should avoid, even if they're prestigious?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because obviously, like, there are a couple of prestigious belts in indie wrestling out there. Obviously, NWA World Heavyweight Championship has more historical prestige necessarily than cultural relevance today, but it's still a recognizable belt. You know, you see a lot of people kind of draped in gold, and NWA World Heavyweight Championship's a part of that. The Ring of Honor World Championship, I suppose. IWGP Heavyweight, Noah, I suppose. Are there any other belts that you can think of that you think logistically Kenny could go for?
I feel like you pretty much got the main ones there, because I was like trying to think here, like, okay, realistically, and here's the thing though, is that even when we say like realistically, you never even know anymore. I feel like in these days, like, anything can happen, or hopefully anything can happen. So I would like to see a couple of surprises. But for me, like, I actually think it would be a big deal. And here's the thing, that I get, like, the NWA belt, like, it has all of this, you know, lineage and all of that. And for the most part, it still has been, you know, in the news here and there. But I actually would feel like a bigger deal for, you know, the Ring of Honor title, just because there is some historical, you know, all the connections with Kenny Omega being there before, you know, the Young Bucks and all of the everything that went down with them. I actually would feel like that would be somewhat more relevant, if anything. But of course, the same thing with the NWA belt. When you think of a belt that has a lot of fans of the belt itself, I can't think of a belt having more fans than the NWA belt. It's just something that a lot of people are really, you know, in love with the history of it.
Yeah, I think Don Callis could do a really good job of making that belt kind of seem important. Just, again, just like the historical angle of it. Obviously, yeah, Cody's history with Ring of Honor as well. Like, you feel like, I don't know why, it feels like kind of a little less down than the NWA, just for the historical.
Yeah, and it's also because the fact that Ring of Honor right now isn't necessarily being talked about. So that is also something, like, they could be talked about a whole lot more, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, yeah, they're, you know, somewhat in the news, I guess you can say. But really, I do think that a lot of the buzz for Ring of Honor has gone down. So that is what is also impacting that. But I just feel like, for me personally, I would feel it's a bigger deal. But again, the historical significance carries more weight. So you can argue it from both sides.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm overstepping my bounds to say that Kenny, if you do want to come on and challenge for the Quizzlemania Championship, we can arrange that. Obviously, we'll have to talk to our people, you talk to your people. But if there is another title you want to add to your collection, I am sort of laying out the challenge here. And now, Kenny Omega, the door is open. The forbidden door is open for a Quizzlemania Championship victory. Win the championship that Denise has never won. The Quizzlemania Championship.
Oh, I was going to say, I was about to say I haven't had the chance, and then I remembered I have had the chance.
How many times have you been on Quizzlemania?
At the moment.
All right.
Brain is only running at 40% capacity at this moment.
Oh, I get you. I'm dehydrated. Tom Daniel says, I have to wonder if the viewership affected the direction of the Impact story this week. You got new viewers in. Do you really want to have TNA make a presence? Wouldn't that confuse new viewers and new viewers, plus make AEW look a bit second class? I don't think so at all. I mean, just like how, I don't know how AEW is going to look second class when they're walking away with your championship. I think Kenny Omega is going to win this one.
Yeah, it's just going to mean that much more. So if you hype these people up, for the people that don't know or don't follow Impact Wrestling, if you hype them up and make them a big deal, and then people are going to be like, all right, I guess they're a big deal, right? And then all of a sudden, Kenny Omega wins, and you're like, oh man, all right, cool. This is what we're doing. Kenny Omega, is a big deal. And this is for people, obviously, that I feel like everybody knows what Impact Wrestling is and all of that. So obviously, this is speaking for a very small minority of people who might not know, but I don't see it hurting AEW whatsoever. I think at the end of the day, the people that want to watch Impact Wrestling are going to watch Impact Wrestling. The people that want to watch AEW Dynamite are going to watch AEW Dynamite, or the people that want to watch both will watch both.
Yeah. That's quite right. Peter Mullen says, I remember Dan Severn walking out on WWF TV wearing the NWA belt, his UFC belt, and Jim Cornette holding the extra belts that he couldn't physically wear. It was such an incredible look. Belt versus belt should matter so much more. I'm actually going to find that image because that sounds cool. WWF belts. Let's Google search that. Can I find it? Oh, yes, I can. Oh, that does look good. Well done, me. Right. Hang on a second.
You're a great Googler, Adam.
A great googly moogly. Talk for a bit, Denise, while I'm uploading this to the back end.
Well, I'm very proud of your Googling skills because, to be honest, to open a whole entire tab, type, while also doing a live stream just requires that much more work. So I am very proud of you for being able to get this image in a nice and timely manner.
There we go. Found it.
Oh, perfect. I was like, I don't know what else to say.
That is pretty rad. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Just, yeah, Photoshop Don Callis's head over Jim Cornette's and Kenny over Dan Severin's. And that's where we're going, folks. And I'm pretty
excited. And add some very funky fashion, since that's what they're doing nowadays.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, so we are going to move on to our mailbag. Do let us know, obviously, if you how you feel about champion versus champion. We'll come back to your ultra chats right at the end of the show. We're heading into our mailbag. Mailbag questions provided by our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/wrestletalk. Head over there, use the community tab, add mailbag as a description because Luke is very bad at his job. Dr. Sophia Benilla, DWO EVP, says... Bueno. Let's talk. No Denise last Friday. Adam, you are too mean to Denise on Quizomania. Get it together. DWO for life. Estamos aquí para Denise. Ella es la estrella.
Ella es la estrella.
Ella es la estrella. Denise, tienes que hacer tus demandas.
Oh, I can't make out what you're saying. Did I have to do something? Do what? Demand?
Denise, tienes que hacer tus demandas.
Oh, sí, tienes que hacer tus demandas. So she's basically saying that you're way too mean to me. Uh-huh. That I'm the star and that I need to be making demands.
Oh, I see. Diles lo que te tienen que dar y empieza con pizza y ranch. Oh, I know what that f***ing means. Oh no, I've sworn. Denise, I've sworn. Oh no.
We did it. We made Adam swear on the air.
That's your
early
fault.
Friday morning.
It's your fault, Spanish people. God damn it.
What is that? Yeah, if we can get you to curse in Spanish, it'd be great. One word.
I won't. Luke is already... Luke can feel that. Like, literally a shadow passed over his grave just then. Like, he got chills being just like, Adam...
He rolled over. He was like...
Luke, I'm sorry. Please no one tell him on Twitter because he'll be so cross at me. He's having a day off.
I know, and I was already bothering him on his day off.
I know. We're live, pal. Doom Lion says, hello, Ollie, Luke, and all the WrestleTalk family. Been watching since episode one. I saw this odd-looking guy talking about wrestling, and I said, what is this? So my theory is that Sting is playing... like the Frank Miller Dark Knight comics where Batman is aging and now he has to rely on the fact he just showing up scares most guys off. Thus, he have to say is real effort for serious guys, i.e. the Bane archetype, Brian Cage, or the croc-like dude, Lance Archer. Also, he's showing Darby Allin that you must stand for justice because sometimes even the top good guys can go bad. Like right now, it's the super elite. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Doom Lion. I really like that comparison. Just like Sting is this like, yeah, aging gunslinger, kind of relying a lot on his legacy. Obviously, he can tool up when he needs to, but he's sort of training this army of like little stingers. Like, I mean, we've already talked about the fact that Darby Allin is Sting's son. I remember I was speaking about that a while back, that Sting should be showing up with a little kind of like papoose, a little harness, and just plopping Darby Allin in it.
A little stroller.
Yeah, that would be sweet. I like that. You're obviously a big Batman fan, Denise, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm like the biggest Batman fan ever. Like, I've watched everything Batman related. I'm the biggest expert ever. So yeah.
What's your favorite Batman?
Batman Forever? Absolutely, I don't know anything about Batman. You know, in case I didn't make that obvious, I've watched two Batmans in my life, and I think it was... Is that the one with Katie Holmes, Batman Forever?
That's Batman Begins.
Which one's the one with Katie Holmes?
Batman
is
Begins.
Is there one with Katie Holmes?
Batman Begins.
I watched that one, and I watched the Dark Knight one, the one that was really popular when it came out.
Oh, with Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yes, I watched that, and I found I was very bored.
If you're only going to watch two Batmans, those might as well be the Batmans you'd seen. That's absolutely fair. Ronan C says, remember when spirits were high after night one of WrestleMania and a lot of the wrestling community seemed happy? Good times. Why is it that the most powerful man in wrestling doesn't actually seem to like wrestling? It makes him money and occasionally seems to make him laugh, but so much of what he dished out feels like he doesn't really care about the product.
It's sports entertainment.
It's not wrestling, exactly.
It's not wrestling. Do you remember when Paul Heyman said that for Vince, wrestling was a nasty word?
Yeah, yeah. Was this what, the 1997 shoot promo?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Paul Heyman told us since then.
Yeah, I mean, well, like Vince told us since, like, he outed the business in like it's a New Jersey. I think it was the New Jersey State Commission was like, look, we're going to charge you taxes because you're doing a sport, and he's like, I'm not doing a sport. Wrestling's not real. It's sports entertainment. I'm having a tax break. Thank you very much. Like, no one, like Vince killed wrestling in the 80s. He doesn't care about wrestling. He cares about he makes movies.
Sports entertainment. I think also Dave noted on the Observer this week, because I did get to read a little bit of it, that the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I believe, added a sports entertainment section to their, like, I don't know, little thing. I need to look more into that because it was pretty interesting to me.
I mean, Vince has a star on the Hollywood Walk.
Ted Turner. But obviously Ted Turner has it for, like, being this big media mogul. The Rock. And that's, like, it that I can think of, like, wrestling-wise.
I mean, yeah, obviously the, yeah, who else? Like,
Vince would technically be the only one that would, I would, or I don't know.
Just looking up a picture of Vince with his star.
Yeah, I'm going to go this weekend to the Hollywood Walk of Fame and get some pics. I don't think I've ever seen, I might have seen Vince's star one time, but I don't remember, but I've never actually gone to go visit it.
He's such a weird guy, isn't he? He's such an odd man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go look for his star. I'm gonna do that this weekend.
Joseph Graham Jr. says, first time writing since joining, had a thought. With AEW hitting 1.2 million views this week, do you think AEW viewership will eclipse Raw? Not sure they will reach SmackDown levels anytime soon. Heck yes, I think it's only a matter of time. I think it might happen this year, like in the next 12 months. Yeah. I think so. Like, I think partly just this narrative will form that Raw versus Dynamite. And I think that is the success. That's the actual narrative worth having. It's never been about Dynamite versus NXT. Like, I want to see Dynamite beat Raw. And because that will, like, I just want something to affect change. I feel like that is the sort of thing that sets alarm bells running when their flagship show beats your flagship show. And I do think they can do it for sure. Like, what's Raw been? What, 1.7, 1.8?
I think this actually past Monday was 1.9.
Okay. Oh, so, that's something to celebrate.
Yeah. And it was a terrible episode of Raw, like really bad. It was even worse than Raw after Mania. So at least in my opinion, it was. So, I mean, look. My whole thing is, if there's people watching wrestling, that's really what I care about. Because I, like, if AEW were to get to beat Raw, in my opinion, that would say that there's still more interest in wrestling, people actually giving it a chance versus there being no interest at all. And yeah, them just, like, rinsing and washing, like, the same fans that they already have. So if AEW were to garner, like, this more, like, newer audience, for me, it would be more exciting because it's like, okay, people still have interest in wrestling. And the reason why they're not, you know, the Raw ratings aren't going back up to your 3-point-something, 4-point-something, 5-point-something numbers is not necessarily because people aren't interested in wrestling, but because they're just not interested in the product. So it gives me hope that if the product is good, that people will come back. Because right now I'm thinking, like, what exactly can they do to really get those numbers back up a lot higher? And I'm just not talking back up a little bit higher. I'm talking back up a lot higher. And right now, to me, like, I don't even know what they would be able to do that at this moment.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, for me, like, in most recent memory, 1.5, I think, is the lowest Raw rating, like, recently. I think that maybe the lowest ever, which has been recently. And, like, 1.5 up from 1.2 in AEW, that seems doable, doesn't it? That seems like one Shaq booking away from peak. Like, and I think we are getting into the point where, like, yeah, AEW's highest getting pretty neck and neck with WWE's lowest, and WWE is circling its lowest right now. So I think it could happen. I want it to happen.
I'm excited to see how Blood and Guts does.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Poet, the poet's poet says, first of all, I thoroughly enjoy the anti-chemistry between Adam and Denise. What do you mean?
The anti-chemistry?
We've got great chemistry. We don't agree on anything, but we can have a chat. That's fine. We're not.
You know, I think I saw somebody on Twitter talking about that too. And I was like, I feel like Adam and I had a good show. We just don't have anything in common.
No, you know what?
I will say this. You never know. We actually might have most in common. Not necessarily in terms. Look at your face. Your reaction said it all. You were like, oh, hell no. I don't want to have anything in common with Denise Salcedo.
Well, do you know why? Because Luke brought up a thing to me, which I didn't mention last week out of sheer common courtesy. He mentioned that you are a fan of a particular WrestleMania. A particular WrestleMania that is particularly maligned by certain people, including myself. He said that you were, and I don't want to use his exact words, but a gigantic WrestleMania 32 mark.
I did enjoy it. I was there.
I was there too.
I tend to enjoy things more when I'm there. Sue me for having a good time.
I will. Give me your lawyer's information.
You should know, though, I never watched it like on like the network afterwards or anything like that. Like I never rewatched it. So I have my memories like from the event. You don't have to ruin it for me. You know, I paid good money to travel over to Texas, pay for my hotels, pay for my flights and all of this.
Look, I'm just saying,
come back here and be like, nah, I didn't enjoy it.
Look, Denise, I just don't want you to go into the sunk cost fallacy of being like, well, I've spent all this money, I have to enjoy it. You need journalistic integrity, Denise. You work for the Wrestling Observer, Denise. You need
journalism. I had a great time.
What do you think of the main event, Denise?
No comment, but I had a good time. Look. At the end of the day, all I remember is my good memories, all right?
That's the important thing. I'm glad you've got some good memories.
That's the important thing, all right?
First,
back to my point, though, that I was trying to make is that I feel, you know what? And now at this point, I don't even care anymore. But I was going to say, wow. I feel that you and I have something in common. And you want to know what that is? We're both very, very strong with our opinions. You feel very strongly about something. I feel very strongly about something, and I don't think that either parties are going to budge.
Absolutely. We have our passion in common.
So now I can breathe a little bit.
So the mailbag says, first of all, I thoroughly enjoy the anti-chemistry between Adam and Denise. As a fellow male Swiftie, that is Adam's age, my question is mainly for Denise. Which Taylor Swift song could transition into an entrance theme for a wrestler, and which one? For example, I would like to, if Becky came out to The Man, at least at WrestleMania 35 or 36.
Yes, well, that would be a good pick because of the name. I actually think Ready for It and Bad Blood are more of wrestling-esque songs.
Team Bad Blood, is that what you're thinking?
No, not exactly. It can come out just for like a regular anybody.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I'd love it.
It's a good song. Have you heard it?
What? Yeah, Bad Blood. Yeah, get Triple H walking out to it. He'd love that. Special entrance Triple H, because his entrances are all really cool. Yeah, we got Bad Blood, and he can come out with Stephanie, and it'd be great. Be wicked
sweet.
You know
what, Adam, have you ever liked anything that people didn't like? I feel offended by the fact that I can't enjoy a WrestleMania. I'm offended.
I like plenty of unpopular things. I like wrestling, for example.
That's true. Thank you very much. You know what? However, like, let's say I liked WrestleMania 32, like 50%. I now like it 70% more out of spite.
Wow. Okay. Contrary.
Out of pettiness, right. I'm going to like it a lot more now because I'm not meant to like it.
Oh, a true fan. I see. Illy Hyman. Go
back, rewatch it.
Wow. You've really showed me throw 5 hours of your life down the drain. It's like I'm gonna enjoy
this event.
Ely Hyman says, brand new member of the SWAF Nation here. I was the one who sent you and Laurie those Magic the Gathering cards a while back. My question was, what do you think are the best names for finishers? Not necessarily the flashiest or most brutal moves, but those that simply sound the coolest. For me, I think Pete Dunne's The Bitter End has to be the coolest name for a finisher ever, followed by Roderick Strong's End of Heartache. Also, have you ever thought of a cool name for a finisher? Me and my friend made up a game for this. I came up with The Future Endeavor. Very nice.
Oh, that's a good one.
End of Days is a really good one. Widow's Bell is really, really good.
Are you making fun of me if I say the Code Breaker?
No, Code Breaker's fine. Code Breaker's fine.
See, now I'm afraid to give my opinions now that I know that you and Luke talk shit about me behind.
Denise, you swore. Denise.
And I don't feel guilty about that. Luke, hear me out. You deserve that swear for talking smack about me behind my back.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. We were friends, Luke. Who knows what else you guys say about me when I'm not there?
Man, I can't wait for next week when Luke's back.
Yes, sir, he ditches me. Literally, I have not ever taken a week off from this show. Luke has. Luke has taken several weeks off, and then he goes and talks smack behind my back when I show up each and every single week. No.
No, this won't stand. Yeah, he doesn't have the passion that we do, Denise.
Chris
Gardner says, hi, Danuke, maybe Adam, Team Dam. Currently listening to the magazine show, and thanks for asking my question. Luke, if it's you again this week, my question was about the most important person in wrestling. The answer was Vince. Similar question this week, but instead, it's who is the individual person who is having the biggest impact in wrestling today? I feel like while Vince has all the power to drive wrestling, he's driving the business forward rather than the art form. For me, it's Jericho with his ability to go between promotions and remain on good terms with everybody. What do you think, Denise? Who's having the most impact?
I would probably say the person that has the power to make the most impact right now, because of terms of like running the competition, running the new promotion, it would be Tony Khan.
I agree.
Tony Khan would be the person, because whatever he, you know, decides to run with is gonna, you know, really determine a lot of the future for wrestling and, you know, the direction, and whatever he does we were just talking about the ratings. That could directly impact WWE, you know, like you said, if their flagship show, gets the same ratings or beats the WWE's flagship show, it's very telling. So anything that he does or what he says and goes into effect actually means something, can mean something big. So I would say Tony Khan on this one.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe Sting is up there as well. I'm thinking of in terms of like what's going to be the biggest impact in wrestling right now. I mean, Kenny Omega's belt collector thing is a lot of fun and is uniting a couple of promotions. But I think in terms of like who's going to be the person to push AEW to the point where it's proper competition with Raw. And I think it's either Sting or Shaq.
I don't think so. I feel like Sting, unfortunately, they really made him seem like just anybody instead of keeping him like a special attraction. So I almost feel like a lot of the hype for Sting has gone down because we're just seeing him every week come out and he's, you know, just doing the same thing for the most part. And then Shaq, like up until the actual match, like no, I don't feel like a lot of people really cared about what he was doing, like these promos that he was cutting on AEW. It wasn't until the actual match that was perfectly fine where I felt people were actually enjoying themselves. But in terms of like getting viewers, like, yeah, there's still people that are obviously interested in both of those parties.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I just want to see AEW do well. Jamie Bowden says, hi, Team Danuke. Hope you're both well. New Pledge Hammer here. So just want to say thank you for all your awesome content here.
Now I feel bad. You gave your ideas and I was like, no.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Anti-chemistry at its finest. It's cool. We're not meant to be friends. We're colleagues. And that's absolutely fine with me.
I feel terrible now. See?
Good. It's great. It's a great feeling. I'm happy. You could use that. Channel that rage into a really fun WrestleMania 32 watch party. Invite your friends around. They'll hate it too. My question is... Jamie Bowden says, my question is, AEW and Impact's partnership that we've seen for a few months. So far, it's mainly been revolving around Don Callis and the Good Brothers and Kenny in Impact. which has been great. However, what do you think about having some sort of interaction between John Moxley and Sami Callihan? I think they're both cut from similar cloth and both from Ohio, which I know Sammy is big on. Maybe Sammy comes in and aligns with Mox and Kingston in AEW. Have a great day, jam that jam. I would like to see more. I obviously, like, we've seen the Good Brothers come in several times. I do think it needs to kind of be a bit further down the roster. Like, you don't want it to just be the Elite having fun with each other, you know, or like the stars of being the Elite having a good old time. I think it does need to go a bit further down the roster, because yeah, there's a couple of really, really intriguing matchups that you could have. Any that kind of like ping out for you, Denise?
So for me, it's more of, and I said this right at the beginning when this whole thing first started, is that I really do think that they should bring in a lot more of the younger AEW talent to go in and work with some of the more, you know, seasoned workers over at Impact. I think that that would probably help out a lot of people. So I would probably say I would want a little bit more of that versus, it doesn't always have to be, you know, your main stories, like with Kenny and Rich Swann and all of that. I feel like you said, they could go more down the card and just get, you know, just more work for, you know, a lot of the talent that maybe doesn't get to get on AEW Dynamite each and every single week.
Especially in terms of tag teams, like if you're talking about like the best tag teams in the world, like Impact has some great teams, and like you just want to bring people over and have a couple of just like multi-man kind of, you know, maybe even just like spot fests, but just like where people can just like come in, get their moves over, get their name over. And again, it's just another reason to tune into Impact. And if, you know, again, if Kenny Omega is the Impact champion, that helps AEW. So just like you help each other to get along. Anyway, Chris Lilly says, hi guys, just want to ask, what in many years to come when Alexa Bliss is introduced into the Hall of Fame, would you remember her for? What is her legacy? In my opinion, be versatility, character work, promo, solid in ring, stout advocate for body confidence and mental health. What do you think Alexa Bliss's legacy will be? I mean, I don't think necessarily her in-ring stuff, but yeah, just the fact that, yeah, she's a hugely effective character. I always, like, even from NXT where she was the heel manager of Blake and Murphy. God, I remember Blake and Murphy. But like, yeah, even then she just was giving off these like Trish Stratus at her peak, like kind of TNA manager vibes. Like she's just amazing. Like she's just got that kind of sass on her face. And like I think Alexa Bliss is just, yeah, she's one of the kind of the finest characters that the women's division has had for a while. And I think that maybe her legacy. But what do you think?
Alexa, but I was going to make a joke. I was going to say it's going to be Lily. No, but no, in all seriousness, though, I really do have to agree with that, because even prior to like everything that she's been doing now with The Fiend, you already saw the personality that she brought, like even to like the Little Miss Bliss stuff, like all of that that she has done when she was, you know, Raw champion for quite some time. Really enjoyed her as champion. And she was actually, that was my favorite version of Alexa Bliss, because I felt that as a viewer, I connected to her in a way where I thought, oh, this is somebody that I want to root for. Like, she's cool. And I get it. Like, I just really liked what she was doing then. And I kind of wish that they didn't end it so soon. I do wish that we got to see that version of Alexa Bliss again. And hopefully I think we will see it down the line once this whole, you know, creepy voodoo, whatever the hell this Alexa Bliss is. Once this is done, I do hope to see more of that. But at the same time, I have to agree with you know, our Patreon person, because it's like, okay, she does have this versatility, and no matter what sort of phase she's in, she's very good at just whatever it is that she's delivering, all of her promos she's good in. And yeah, she's no, you know, she's not, you know, she's not like Natalia in the ring or something like that, but she is perfect.
She was the lady you went for, huh?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of somebody that was technically great, but in terms of like,
she's not a superstar. She's not like Natty.
I'm talking about like in-ring wise, but
she's certainly not meaner than Tamina. Come along now.
In terms of her also being in the ring, I do think I her work and all of that. So I would actually say like Alexa Bliss really was one of my favorites for a very, very long time. Sadly, the effect has gone down. But
yeah, I think the repeated kind of blood in the mouth and obviously seeing the little weird little haunted Denise Salcedo doll on the swing, like that has affected things in some ways. But like we can only hope that, you know, they're going somewhere with this. One can only hope. Weasley in 65 says, greeting Adams and Denise. I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not defending WWE here. All right. So I've got a feeling that a hot take is incoming. They had no need to release the talent after so much profit. But if I may play devil's advocate for a bit, WWE releasing talent after Mania isn't a new thing. This can be a good thing for many of them. The Iconics can go be a mainstay of any women's division. Mickey James can go have one last run anywhere she wants. Put Tucker on Elevation, have him grow a new character and brand. Even Joe, who I feel like suffered from a case much like Macho Man when Vince didn't want to clear him because of injury, he'll be cleared by any company and can dominate once again. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm defending WWE, but if they weren't going to be used anyway, what's the point of hoarding them when they can go work anywhere else? Jam that jam, and I look forward to Quizzlemania 32. I think generally people is just like, you know, it's their livelihood. It is, you know, WWE does pay a fair bit more than a lot of other companies, and obviously some of these people do have families and mortgages and all that jazz. I think we covered a little bit last week when we were just like, yeah, the complexion isn't quite as grim as it was last year because there is a lot more competition for people to work at now. It's just the optics of WWE doing this every year and like being just like, well, we have to cull certain members of our behind the scenes and on air talent in order to keep that stock price, you know, because we're entering the new part of the financial year and we want to give ourselves a little bump. And it's just like, I think it's the fact that it just seems like you are playing Monopoly with people's lives. That is sort of the kind of impression it's given off by the company. So I think that's generally what people are grossed out about. But am I missing something, Denise?
No, I would just say that I think that the comments, the question submission wasn't necessarily like a hot take. It's more of just looking on the bright side. I think that's what this
did.
It's look on the bright side because it's not defending WWE whatsoever. If you're saying the bright side is Mickey James can go have another run, the Iconics can go do, you know, whatever the heck they want to do, or same thing with Samoa Joe. So I really do think it's just more of looking on things on the bright side. I just wish though that I feel like, and I don't know, I personally would prefer, like, let's say you're a talent, right? And you got let go. Would you prefer for them to tell you, A, budget cuts, even though you know that they made their profit year, or B, hey, Adam, just want to let you know that unfortunately at this moment, we don't really have anything for you. And we have our investments in another direction. What would you prefer?
You want people to be honest with you. You want to be just like, look, we release you to go and fulfill yourself creatively in other places. Yeah, it's the insincerity, I think. There's just a lot of reasons why people just get rubbed the wrong way by it, because the WWE are a very ruthless business. They always have been. And you're right, we shouldn't be shocked by it. But it's just like, yeah, it's never going to be a point where you just be like, oh, that makes me feel good. It's just, yeah, people are going to respond like this, especially when people like have a real genuine emotional connection with some of these people. Like Samoa Joe was all over the product. That's the thing. Like Samoa Joe was doing a good job. Like he wasn't wrestling, but he was doing a good job. And like that, it just makes people feel just a bit hopeless when it comes to people they really, really love.
You know, what's weird too, when you talk about Samoa Joe, is that it's not like he was just somebody that you could do one thing with, right? Mm. I could see people letting go somebody that gets only good at one thing, but think about somebody that can contribute in multiple ways. How do you let go of somebody that can contribute again in multiple ways? Like, you know, if you're running a video team, are you going to let go of the host that could only host, or are you going to let go of the person that hosts, writes, produces, edits, and does all of this stuff? No, you're going to, you know, choose who do you think is more who can do more. So for me, that's how I see it. Was like this with Samoa Joe's case, is that I'm pretty sure they could have found some place for him, whether it not be commentary. Let's just say they didn't want him wrestling, or they didn't want him doing commentary. All right, great. What about, you know, being a manager? I don't know. Like, there's options with him is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, the guy's got decades of experience with not just wrestling, but live TV wrestling. Like, he's the sort of figure who literally, and we mentioned this with Mickie James when we talked about it last week, just like, the value is not just in seeing them on camera, it's the value is in having them backstage as an anchor for the locker room, having them imparting lessons, having them producing matches, having them agenting finishes, you know, like, use their expertise, because otherwise another company's gonna do it. And I think probably AEW, I mean, like, yeah, who better than Samoa Joe to bring in to give a lightning bolt to your product, especially with the fact that he can be called Samoa Joe, you know, he owns that name. So I think it's there are some things that are just baffling that you lose. And yeah, again, like, I think Weasley 65, we were coming down. I certainly was coming down a bit too hard for having a hot take, but no, you're absolutely right. Like, looking on the bright side of life is a good way of doing things. Ricardo Holt says, hello, Team Danuk, first time mailbag. Just want to say, start by saying that you guys are my go-to. Your pods are unfiltered fun. Question for you. Where do we go with both the overall Elite Bullet Club story and the Kenny is a belt collector stories after he beats Rich Swann for the Impact and TNA titles? Have a great day. I mean, we just like kind of discussed this at the top, but where, like, concisely, Denise, where would you say, like, what is the next single step?
So I still think that with Kenny Omega as champion, that they can still have a lot of like dream matchups. I think they can even circle back to doing something again with Jon Moxley. Like, there's still a lot that they can do, but once they're all done, you know, giving us the dream matchups with Kenny and all of this other stuff, obviously everybody knows, or everybody hopes, like, I should say hopes, that the next person in line is Hangman Page. And that's exciting for me to see, like, somebody get handed the it's your time now sort of deal. I would like something like that. But I do want to see more, you know, obviously I want to see Kenny Omega have this reign that we all know that he can have.
Yeah, I personally, of all of them, just because I know that, you know, some of the release guys might be heading down there, but I would like to see NWA Power get like a shot in the arm. And a big boost from like an appearance of Kenny Omega. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, you know, I don't think it's selling too many pay-per-views. So why not whack it around the hottest guy in independent wrestling? You know, like, might as well, if you can even call AEW independent wrestling, I suppose. And Alex Kirkman says, there's always talk of which WWE wrestler is going to AEW, but who will be the first wrestler from AEW to go to WWE? I reckon
I had this question before, but I don't remember if I gave like an actual answer to that.
The Alex Kirkman says Kenny Omega. I mean, is it really out of the realms of possibility? He gets a big money deal right before he hangs up his boots. Also, Quizzlemania idea, a Money in the Bank concept where the winner can cash in at any time against the current Quizzlemania champion and both
do
answer
it.
A number-based question.
Do it. BTW, we also had a couple of people on my Twitter timeline that were like, yes, we're fully here for Puppet Mania, Puppet Quizzlemania. I don't know if they called it Puppet Quizzlemania or Puppet Mania, whatever the hell. But some people wanted that. BTW, idea.
Just saying, by the way, actually takes less time than saying BTW. It's fewer syllables.
You said BTW. BTW sounds way better than by the way.
LOL. I suppose.
LOL, LMAO, STFU. What else? I'm trying to think. Raffle, ROF. I say Raffle actually instead of ROFL. Raffle. That's right.
Raffle.
I was going to say something. What the hell was it?
I don't know, Denise. You were going to say that you had answered this question before. You didn't couldn't remember what you said.
What about MJF?
MJF's my guy. Like, I think in terms of just like a really, really marketable character. I think WWE wants someone who is that kind of heel that maybe kind of like, I just see money in MJF. I really, really do. And I think he can talk up any program he's in. Like, I think like his promo work with so far, his promo work with the Pinnacle has been outstanding. I think he'd be a huge get, but I think he may be too much of an AEW company man just because they've sort of made him. I know that obviously he was a name before AEW, but AEW really made MJF.
Right.
I can't think, like, you know what? Jericho, maybe? Like, you know, it's not without the realm. Like, I think before he gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, which I think will happen, Still, like, I could imagine one last match in WWE.
I'm sure. Maybe you always want to have that, like, closure, I guess you can say.
Maybe. I mean, hey, Angle was Mr. TNA longer than he was Mr. WWE. Yes,
you're right. He was. But let's not go back to that. Let's not remember how that ended.
Oh, I'm sad now.
We're going to be seeing Chris Jericho retire to Jackson Riker or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Denise.
I'm just trying to think of, like, who would be somebody that you'd be disappointed in.
All right. So we're going to head back to our Ultra Chats. Thank you to everyone who sent in our mailbags, but we're going to finish off with 10 minutes or so of Ultra Chat. CM Chris says, hello, Adam and Denise. Impact Wrestling did put up a headline saying Rebellion commercials airs during AEW Dynamite. So it did seem like it was on an ad or at least shown twice. Can't wait until Sunday for the whole pay-per-view. Yeah, I mean, Impact bought. they bought ad time during AEW. So yeah, they got that. I just felt like, yeah, they make it. AEW could have done more. I'm just saying, it's a partnership after all. Yeah. Matthew Makowski says, hello, Adam and Denise. With Rebellion being this Sunday and Kenny maybe not having a direction for Don, Bucks versus Mox and Kingston, I'm assuming. Double or nothing. Gotcha. And Hangman should not face Kenny yet. How would we feel if they did a rematch after heel shenanigans? So what, Kenny versus Rich Swann rematch, maybe on AEW? That might be good.
I don't see it happening.
You don't see
I mean,
it?
On AEW, I don't know. I mean, just given the way that they've promoted, lack thereof, promoted this match, I don't know if they would want to actually do it on there. You know, I think they should. I would love to see it. But I don't know if they would.
Interesting. New Punk Rant says, hey guys, AEW fan here and Juventud Guerrera super fan. Hello, New Punk Rant. When I watch a Dynamite, I often look at the entrance and hope to hear that iconic theme song that made me fall for WCW. Do you think we will see the greatest cruiserweight in WCW history in AEW? What do you think, Denise? Is the juice going to AEW?
I don't know. I actually just spoke to him on the phone like 2 weeks ago. It was really nice to kind of like catch up with him because we worked a show. We worked like a couple of shows together, like two years ago.
Oh, cool.
But it was just nice to kind of get in contact with him again. But I don't really have anything to say other than it was nice to talk to him.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to see he's doing well. PM Punk says, with the rise of boxing and prize fighting hitting the mainstream again, I think Tyson's allegiance with AEW will help grow the product more than any roster member will right now. I mean, I can only speak for my own feelings, but yeah, I don't care about Mike Tyson in wrestling. I really, really don't. What do you think, Denise?
Zero interest. I'm sorry. There's just like a lot of... see, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of celebrities that are celebrities, but that aren't celebrities to me that I'm enough to get excited about. You know, like, there's the celebrities that's celebrities, but then there's like celebrities you get excited about. Like, I don't get excited about Shaq or Mike Tyson. Like, those are not my celebrities that I get excited for.
Shaq runs Papa John's. How can you not get excited about the O'Neal?
Just, I don't get excited.
Do they not have their pizzas come with ranch sauce? Maybe you don't like Papa John's.
No, they do. They promote it on their commercials.
Do they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. I feel like every pizza commercial does now that I think about it. I've seen so many. I don't even know which one belongs to which company anymore.
America's weird, man. Hello, donated some money. It says, had vaccine dose two. Woo, but pain. I stopped watching Raw after the journalist... Khashoggi. I stopped watching Raw after the journalist died. I was just like, what? I was like, Khashoggi.
From the whole Saudi Arabia thing?
Yeah. Steph brought up dismemberment and face Ronda called fans millennials complaining in their parents' basements. When have you / would you stop watching a wrestling show? I've stopped watching wrestling at least twice in the past. I stopped watching in 2002. I think, no, 2003, I think. That was just because life got in the way. And then I stopped, and I joined back, and then I stopped watching again in like 2007, 8, because the product was really bad. And then I came back in 2011.
How dare life get in the way of you watching wrestling?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it would probably, because I stopped watching when I was in college for a bit. And then, again, life got in the way. Actually, more like homework got in the way. And then... trying to think, I feel like in the future, it would probably just be like if my life went down a different direction where I was like, you know what, I'm done. And I decided to do, I don't know, God knows what.
That's fair. Wilson Simon says, Denise, I was also at WrestleMania 32, and even I have never seen the main event match. I left early to beat the traffic, but I stayed for Roman's entrance just to boo him.
Okay, look, I never leave early for anything, okay? Like, I stick it out. I paid my money. I'm going to stay there.
I got my money. I paid my money, so I'm getting my happiness.
Actually, I think there was a guy that was asleep in the crowd, and I'm pretty sure my fiance pointed it out, if I remember correctly. Because I remember, because it's, you know, those things where you start looking around, you start looking to see what people are doing. But yeah. I still enjoyed myself, Adam.
I believe you, Denise. I believe that you willed yourself to a point where you believed you were having a good time.
I had it. Actually, I was really terrified, to be honest, because it was, oh, what's the name of the stadium? Is it AT&T Stadium? No, yeah. Arlington Stadium. It's AT&T Stadium, right?
AT&T, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that stadium was like brand new, and I had never, or arena, whatever. Yeah, stadium. Okay. Ignore my story. The point is that I was scared because it was so high tech, like the ceiling and everything. And I think they had like this big thing in the middle. I don't even know. But the point is that I was scared being in there. I was afraid that the whole building was going to like fall down. And my fiance was like, Denise, this stadium is so expensive. This and that. He's like, you ain't going to die in here. And then when they were doing the fireworks, I was kind of nervous being like in that entrapped area. The point is I was nervous about the whole structure. I don't know why, but it was giving me the creeps.
So
like, I like to be in open spaces.
So you had a good time, not because the show was good, but because you didn't perish. Well, that's fair. You know, like I can understand.
And we were sitting behind the stage too, so I was like nervous.
Oh dear. So Anonymous says, some want Sully on Quizzlemania, some want puppets on Quizzlemania. I want Sully with the puppets on Quizzlemania. A lot of people asking for Sully, which is really, really nice. We'll get Sully on Quizzlemania at some point, I'm very sure. Sully's someone from No Rolls Barred, Denise. Someone who appears. He likes board games. You'd hate
him. Yeah. Oh, thanks. You're already telling people I hate them. I don't even know the guy. I mean, we could be best friends, and now this friendship will never have an opportunity. You know what it is? You just don't want me to have your friends. You want the Sully person to only be your friend.
When in reality,
he could be my friend too.
Stay away from him. He's mine.
I'm going to go find him on Twitter and befriend him.
No, don't do that. He's my friend.
You see? I'm not even allowed friends.
It was in your WrestleTalk contract. You read it. Brian D. Boyd says, Adam, aren't you glad you don't have to review Raw every week? Denise, how is your mobile gaming addiction going? And what's the panel's favorite one-on-one match with no special stipulations ever?
All right. What was the second part?
How's your mobile gaming addiction going?
No, the second part after that.
Oh, what's the panel's favorite one-on-one match with no special stipulations?
Oh, okay. Well, my game addiction at the moment is getting better. I've only spent $3 instead of $60, so the price has gone down.
Oh wow. Are you one of these whales that the mobile gaming community is talking about?
Yeah, I was addicted to some game, and I'm a little bit addicted. The addiction has gone down.
Was it Raid Shadow Legends?
No, it was a furniture game.
What furniture game?
Where you design fake houses.
Denise.
And you buy furniture to decorate the houses.
The Sims exists, Denise, and it costs less than £60. I would never play The Sims.
I don't like role-playing type of stuff. Like, I'm not into that.
You're just an interior designer.
Just an interior designer. Thank you. I like to fancy myself an interior designer.
Favorite one-on-one match with no special stipulations. Ooh, so not like a ladder, not even a no DQ match. It has to be a straight down the middle one-on-one. That's a good couple.
There's so many, though. I feel like I wouldn't even be able to pick.
I'm a huge, 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 huge fan of Walter Ilya Dragunov. That's just wrestling match. You know, that's just a straight wrestling match. I remember Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt Royal Rumble 2014. I'm loving that match. Absolutely loving it. Just a one-on-one, completely normal match, but absolutely loved it to pieces. Any that you can think of?
I'm trying to think if there was something that I'm just like, I really, There's so many for me, to be honest. Like, I can't even think of something.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I can't Fair think enough. Right now. My Fair enough. Brain's a blank. Why am I on this show? Why?
I don't know, mate.
I'm like trying to think. I'm like, what do we think of what I like?
Gonna have to ask
Luke about it afterwards.
Sayachua says, I like the mailbag on finishes so much I decided to put forward one I would have if I were to wrestle. I've always loved submissions, so I would have a crucifix rear choke called the drawing block, because medieval stuff is cool, I think. Much love, Jam That Jam. Oh, that's nice. HCB says, hi guys, my question is, what's your biggest wrestling pet peeve? Mine is heel versus heel matches / storylines, Hurt Business versus Retribution, because it makes no sense from a fan perspective, as in theory they would want no one to win. It's just confusing.
Pet peeve, the Miz as champion, bam, done.
Well, that's something that you and Luke agree with for sure.
Damn right.
For me, it's when people shrug off losses, like when people don't pretend like they don't care, like when really? When you have okay. Yeah, baby faces who come out with the whole I lost, doesn't matter, and then they do like a stand-up routine about how they don't care. Like, I think everyone should care about the fact they were beaten.
I think
you can be mature about it, just being like, you were the better man, but I want a rematch, you know, just like. But I like anytime that it's Cena or like babyface Reigns, or you know, like any of those guys, be just like, yeah, it doesn't matter, do 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 on with my next kind of like type five about how big Cesaro's nips are, you know, like it. I that's the thing that I hugely hate, because like you say, it all circles back to what we were talking about at the top of the show. You are only as good as the people you're beating, so if you don't rate the people you're beating, and if you don't rate your competitors, then you get nowhere. And I think that is one of my biggest pet peeves in wrestling.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I have to agree with that. I second you.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. I'm very, very smart.
I wasn't going to bury your answer like I did last time.
Yeah, I remember that. No, I don't think so. Okay. Bacon Rasher says, hi, Dadam. It's Team Dam.
Team Dam.
Shame we have COVID. Would love to see Kenny versus Ospreay for the Rev Pro title in London. Would love to see AEW in London, hopefully someday, almost definitely someday. Question for Adam, which 4 to 5 AEW stars would you like to play a board game with, and what game?
Oh, that's a fun question. I would like to play with people too. I'd like to play Scrabble with MJF, Kenny. With MJF, Kenny, Darby, because I feel like he'd pick out some interesting words. I need two more people. Who do I want?
Death.
Hangman Page. I'll add him. And I'm going to play Monopoly with Matt Hardy.
Money, Matt Hardy. Very, very, okay, fine. You got the branding in there. Very good.
God, who should I add for my fifth for Scrabble?
Do you have five? Kenny, Hangman, MJF, Darby, and Matt Hardy.
No, Matt Hardy was for Monopoly. I need fifth for Scrabble.
You need four more for Monopoly is what you need as well. You need a fifth for Scrabble.
Who do I want for my fifth for Scrabble?
Is Scrabble a four-player game?
I don't even know. You're right. It is a four-player game. Well, bonus person.
I would say MJF for sure. Hangman. MJF would give really good trash talk. I think Kenny would just get competitive about it. He's a big gamer. And best friends. I want to hang out with the best friends.
What game are you guys playing?
Something good, probably. Maybe like Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
Oh, I see you looking at the collection. Oh, no.
I'm looking at my collection, yeah. I think we could play some really, really fun ones. Maybe we'll just play Disney Villainous, you know. Wits and Wages would be fun. Yeah. Or maybe Diplomacy with MJF would be a fun time. You know, you have no idea what any of these words mean, do you?
No.
That's fine.
You ever played a game where the one where you get the little... Oh, there's the Hippo, there's Operation. Do you play those kind of games too, or are those not considered board games?
The one with the Hippo. The Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
Yeah, the Hungry Hippo. And then the Fish one? What about the Fish one?
That's a toy. That's a toy, Denise.
Does that not count as a board game? Those kids, do you not play Candyland?
Candyland's the worst. Initiative Coffee Co. says, hey, neighbors, really pleased to see your success in alternate channels. Curious. Well, who would I contact if I were interested in sponsoring content on No Rolls? But what a lovely ultra chat to end on. You would contact adam@wrestletalk.com because I'm the channel director for No Rolls Barred.
I'm gonna promote Denise Salcedo on No Rolls Barred. Watch. I'm gonna reach out, offer you a pretty penny.
You do that. Maybe I'll consider it. Hey, everyone, go and subscribe to Instant Culture with Denise Salcedo. Why not? She works hard. Go subscribe to Fightful. She's over there. Go subscribe to us at Wrestle Talk Podcast. And go subscribe to No Rolls Barred, Denise's favorite YouTube channel in the entire world.
You know, people have been asking that they want to see me on that show. That should tell you everything on your channel. That should tell you everything, Adam. Book it.
I'm not inviting you over to come and play good board games, and you'll just be just like, can't we play Cards Against Humanity? I don't understand this game. That's what you would say.
Yeah, I'd probably get bored. I'm just there for the chips. You guys do eat while you play, right?
I mean, obviously what you eat when you play a board game, you definitely don't want to like Cheetos or anything that kind of soils your fingers unless you have really kind of like really robust card sleeves, but like they're quite expensive for me. I use Dragon Shield card sleeves, you know, like the kind of the matte ones on the back, which kind of like you can have like kind of Cheeto dust on there, but like with wings and like barbecue, anything with like a sauce, like you want to really be careful, Denise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just figured you use one hand to play, one hand to eat. I don't care. You can eat anything when you're playing board games with me because I'm fun. Yeah. You want to eat a burger over my board game? Sure.
You'll ruin my board games. All right. We're going to say our goodbyes. We love you very much. Not as much as Luke loves you, but he's not here. But Luke will be here next week with Denise, and Denise will be taking Luke to task about all the horrible things that Luke has been saying about her behind her back. So tune in for that same time next week. 4 p.m. live only on Wrestle Talk Podcast. Subscribe, do all the subscribes. Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye bye. Bye bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.